very disturbed by what's been put out. Vitriolic, offensive, and quite frankly, dangerous. And these are officers who come in to work every single day, going out to serve the community. And to be fair, I've spoken in the last hour with senior representatives from the Orange Order, and they are just as disgusted and offended by what they've seen as we are. And they're reiterating, as we do, that if there are complaints about police conduct, take it to the Ombudsman, have a conversation directly with senior police officers in the area, which is what I've offered up. And look at how we solve the problems or the issues that are presented, not just some lazy, offensive and downright dangerous commentary in social media where there's no accountability for people.
Does some of that commentary, Chris, go beyond offensiveness into illegality?
Very possibly. And we have commenced an investigation into the post itself and various comments that have been made, because there are consequences for people on social media, even if it appears anonymous. And Mark has painted the picture of what we were dealing with in the Omo Road, that this was a parade being escorted home by neighbourhood officers. And we are more than open and up for conversations about, was the action appropriate? Did officers overreact? Was there inappropriate behaviour by BAM members, etc., etc.? But the time to have those conversations and make those pronouncements are after we've done the hard work to gather the information and the evidence, not jump to conclusions or pretend we know what was in somebody's head at that point in time.
Do you agree with Mark Lindsay that unionist politicians particularly are being very unhelpful in the way that they've commented on what happened on the Omo Road?
Well, I'll reframe it to maybe sort of put it more positively. I think what we need and what is critical for policing is cross-community support for the police service.
Are you getting that?
And that's not the fact that people then can't criticise or critique or hold us to account, because that's part of how we build public confidence. And I think on the whole, that is what we get. But there are clearly times of significant stress, significant challenge in this place and in our society in terms of where we police, where sometimes we have a concern as an organisation that perhaps we're creating lose-lose. And the benefit I have is I have a huge amount of very constructive, positive conversations with all my community representatives and elected representatives across the district, and I've had those in recent days, and we would just encourage people to keep looking at what do we do differently, how do we solve the problem, and sometimes we, and I include myself and our organisation, sometimes we're very good at describing the problem and not moving to a solution.
Can you explain, and people are asking, Chris, if you can you explain the difference in the policing operations in Cole Island and Lurgan and what we saw on the Omo Road?
Well, I suppose the easy cop-out for me is to say my responsibility, which is onerous enough, is trying to keep Belfast safe. I think I'll make a couple of generic points without talking on the individual cases. Each circumstance is quite unique and different in terms of the information that's available to police, the context of a particular community at a point in time, what resources are available to us, the particular dynamics in place. And there are many different ways to skin a cat whenever people commit offences. Some of those will involve very fast-time arrests. Some will involve more lengthy investigations. But the bottom line is, and what's important, is that there are consequences for people who break the law. And as a police service, I think our track record in that over the years is significant. It mightn't happen as quickly as people like, but there are consequences whenever people break the law.
Will there be consequences for those who took part in an illegal parade?
I believe so. I can talk about Belfast in terms of the work that we put in advancing on the day, but I'm not going to prejudge the investigative and then ultimately the judicial process. That's a matter for the PPS and the courts as well as ourselves. And we're always up for, in terms of debriefs, about what we can do differently, how we can learn, how do we actually prevent this happening in the first place. And we consistently engage with parade organisers to ensure that parades are both lawful and peaceful. And that also goes to the Orange Order as well. Part of the significant impact and fallout from the issue in the Omo Road, just bringing it back to that, is that there has been damage caused to our relationship with the Orange Lodge. But we're really working very hard to repair that. And that I believe that emphasis and focus is both ways.
Just finally, the police officer who's been targeted in online social media abuse, an avalanche of abuse which has fallen on this officer. What are your concerns about that officer's particular situation?
Well, I'll not talk too specifically about that individual officer, because I think it's actually important just to even think more widely than that, because obviously this, and of course the real risk for us is now that other people will see what's happened here, that we take our officers' safety on and off duty hugely seriously. And that's about protecting their identity. It's about protecting where they live and what their routine is. And for someone to start publishing details on social media is clearly putting officers' safety and lives and indeed that of their families at risk. So we've already put some steps in place around how we can ensure the safety of officers who maybe been subject to this. But it comes back to it. If there's a core grievance there, the police service is not saying you can't speak up, you can't challenge us. What we're saying is do it in a constructive way and do it in the right way. But by attacking public servants, you're attacking police officers who are there to protect and keep your whole community safe.